Today is the first day of Masech the Kinim. Kinim is it's only four daf.
It's the second
one. What? It is the only, am I correct? It is the only Masechta of Mishnayis that is part of the Limud of Daf Yomi, the Seder HaDaf Yomi, yeah?
We're going to have Tamid and Midos.
Oh, Midos, you're right. Midos is also only Mishnayis. How could I forget? You're right. Tamid is good. Not every parak, but most parak have Gemara. Tell him, right.
Used to have
Midos, Taka does not have. How could I forget that? That's right.
Used to learn Eddie as
But there, I just tell you something, Derek Agav, that I saw from Rav Chaim Kinievsky. I saw this in the Hagdamah to Masech Kinim in the Sefer Daf Al Adaf, and they answered Rav Chaim Kinievsky two questions. Do you say the Hadron after you learn Masech Kinim? It's four Daf in the way, and it doesn't mean anything, but the way it's printed in the Masech is a continuation of Masech of Ye'ilah, Chav Gimel. And then we go into Tamid, you just continue all the way through the Tamid. Midos, all the way through the end. So could you make the Hadron, when you finish Masechta, Midos, that's not a problem because you can say a Hadron the entire Seder, Nezakin. That's not an issue, right? When you finish Midos, you're finishing Seder Kodashim. So there's no question you can make a Hadron, you can say that you can do you can do whatever you want. It's not a big deal, it's just a tefillah. But is it proper to say the Hadron, to make a whole thing and say the Hadron? Again, like, it's not the end of the world if you do one way and not the other way. Because it's only Mishnayis. Generally we don't say tefillos and Kaddish Drabon, Kaddish Drabanon. It's Kaddish, and you see Masechta. You don't do that unless you can do it. The Masechta of Talmud, that's the Minhag HaOlam. The Minhag HaOlam is doing Masechta
after a
Seder.
After
you finish the entire Seder. It's all Minhagim. But what is the proper Minhag? What's the proper? So he said that no, you can do it. After, when you learn Masechta Kinim, you can do it. You do whatever you want. His Nusach was whatever you want. There's nothing wrong with actually saying the Hadron and say make a real siyum when you conclude Masechta Kinim. Then they ask, what can you, if that's the case, Erev Pesach, the siyum b'chayros, can you learn Masechta Kinim, with one Masechta Mishnayis, and make a siyum and pater the b'char from fasting Erev Pesach? No. So what's the chilas? What?
Too easy.
That you can't do. Mishnayis, learning one masechta. Rav Moshe says a tshuva. Rav Moshe says three masechtas you can make. It's enough. If you learn three masechtas, a mishnayis, three masechtas of mishnayis, that's significant.
Equals
learning a masechta of Gemara. That is sufficient. You can. You don't have to fast. What? By the way, what happens if you can't make a siyum? What's the next best thing? You don't want to fast in your bichar. Pidyon. Not everyone knows. People know. Not everyone knows this. Give money. If you can't, you should go to a siyum. But if you can't make a siyum, b'shas hadchak, the next best thing is you give stock. Giving stock is a pidyon, a redemption. What? A small amount. Small amount.
I don't know, we always learn to give money at the seam. Even though you hear a seam, you give money
too. I never heard that. Do both. Erev Pesach. Interesting. Maybe it's because you're choshev the person. The guy didn't really learn, it's just a joke.
Harayos, the emergency Gemara.
I never heard that, to do both. Okay, but there is such a thing that you can give pigeon. So he said that, but he did say, so he said, if that's the case, why then? If it's not good enough to make a siyum, what's going on of Shach? If it's not good enough to make a siyum for a Bechor, so why then is it significant? Is it more than another Masechta? If you learn a regular Masechta, one Masechta Mishnayis, it's not heard of. It's not normal to make a big production. Okay, there are cases, first, the children are different. People, you know, there are exceptional circumstances. But a general, a regular person doesn't make a whole to-do with learning one Masechta of Mishnayis. So why then are you telling that when you learn Masechta Kinim, you make a Siyum? And it's not so hard. Okay, it's hard, but it's not the end of the world. So he says, the uniqueness about, I don't know what he means, the uniqueness about Mesechtim is that it's in between two Mesechtos of Talmud. It's packaged. It's packaged between somehow the fact that first comes Ne'ilah and afterwards comes Tamid. And these are two Mesechtos from which we have a Talmud. There's a Talmud Bavli on Ne'ilah, there's a Talmud Bavli on Tamid. And Kenan is sandwiched. That's the way it is. Minhag Yisrael. What?
That's credit from pre and post.
It has some influence. The Talmud, on both ends, has influence upon this Masechta. It upgrades it to a unique type of Masechta. Where
is the last one
in Mishnayis. In the Talmud, the Kenan is put in between Me'ilah and Tamid. In the Mishnayis, the Siddur Mishnayis, it's the last, not Midos. And when you make a Sim on Seder Kodashim, you make a Sim on Masechta Kinim, not a Masechta Midos. Why is it arranged? I don't know why. I don't know why it's like, but that's how it is. But it's something that is unique, he says, and he writes, that it's sandwiched in between two Masechtas of Talmud, and the Talmud rubs off on it. It elevates it to a unique Masechta, and you can say the Yirotzen, and you say the Kaddish Rabbanan, and you can make a party, and so on and so forth. But if you're a Bechor, it's not going to help you for the tinness, but at least in this Madrega, that's okay. I want to just bring out, what?
So you have opinion.
You need to have opinion also. You're not supposed to opinion. It's only B'diyavet. It's only M'shas HaTchak, you can come on to opinion. L'chatili, you have to learn or participate in a Masechta. Listen, I want to go before we run out of time.
Can you listen to it over the radio?
No.
What is Rabbi Goldwasser? Every Erev Pesach,
he makes a scene.
He does a scene with Shnais. He does it hot in a lot.
All right. People are listening. I don't know the answer. I don't know. It's a chiddush to participate in the scene.
It's the old story if you can make Abdullah.
It's supposed to be from the food. The side, I'm very into this. You take the food from the scene, you bring it home to everyone.
It's
the
old story if you make Abdullah.
Okay, before we run out of time, I want to bring out one halachic inyan. Maybe we have some time. I didn't just tell you a little, just a little few things about the Masechta in Yanni Drush, but let's just first discuss just one halachic inyan, which I found to be very interesting. I'm jumping over here to the hardest Mishnah. But I'm only going to tell you the beginning of Mishnah, so don't worry. It's very, very easy. The Paragimel Mishnah Vav. Paragimel Mishnah Vav is... That's where everything culminates. That's the apex. That's where everything. That's where it gets really, really complex. But let's just read the first two lines. Are very, very easy. Who isha sha'amra hare olai kain. A woman says, "I want to give a nedava. I will obligate myself to bring to the Beis Hamikdash a set of birds. Kishei leid zohar, if I merit to have a male." Okay, so she gets pregnant, she gives birth to a zohar. What is the rule? A woman who gives birth must bring a set of birds. Now, really, if a woman is wealthy, she brings an animal. She brings a keves as a carbon chatos, and a bird as the carbonola. If she cannot afford, then she brings two birds. The whole masech that we're dealing with a woman that is bringing birds. So she gives birth to a zohar. She has upon her two sets of birds to bring. Number one, for her choiva, her obligation. She gave birth to a child. A woman who gives birth must bring two birds. One bird is a chatos, and one bird is an oila. The chatos' blood is sprinkled, or is applied below, that's sprinkled, but it's squirted below the mizbeach. And the oila's blood is applied above the mizbeach, above the chut hasikra, on the upper portion of the mizbeach. Being that she also made a neder, if I give birth to a zohar, I want to donate, I want to bring as an offering a gift of a set, those two birds are both oilos. Both oilos which are brought lemala michut hasikra. So in total, how many birds does this woman, is she required to bring?
Four
birds, two sets. One for her choiva, obligation, and one for her nedava, her gift. The choiva, one is meant to be a chatos, and the other is an ola. The nedava are two oilos, four birds, in total three oilos, and one chatos. The koyein makes a mistake, he doesn't know what's going on. He takes the two sets, and from each set, one bird goes lamala, and one bird goes lamata. So, how many birds have been ruined, have been done shaloi kedin? If all of the birds are from the same kind, there are two different meaning that a woman can bring birds, either b'nei yoina toirim or b'nei yoina. If all the birds come from the same min, the same species, how many birds have been brought kedin? Three birds have been brought kedin. The two birds that were meant to be in oila are oilas. I'm sorry. One more time. She has to bring a total of four birds. Three of the birds are supposed to be oilas and one is a chatas. The kohen did not follow the rules. What did he doing? When one said he brought one lamala, one lamata. So what is the rule? The rule is one of these four birds has been brought shaloi kedin. One bird that was meant to be lamala was brought lamata. She must bring one more bird to complete the set. Three birds were supposed to be brought lamala above. One bird was supposed to be brought lamata. The kohen did not follow the rules. He brought two lamala, two lamata. The one bird that was brought lamata is disqualified. It should have been brought lamala. So she must replace that bird by bringing another bird. What happens if she brings the kohen two different types of birds? One set of b'nei yoina and one set of toirim. So we don't know which is which. So the rule is she has to bring two birds. Now let me explain. The Rashi here on this of the Mishnah says two very important chidushim to explain the case. And these chidushim, everyone, the Rambam and many other Mepharshim disagree, and it opens up a whole collection of problems. We're not going to get into all the details. I just want to bring up one small point. Rashi says as follows. When a woman brings two sets of birds, one bird is an obligation, and the other set, a set is an obligation, one set is a gift. By default, the first thing the Kohen does is the obligation. Okay? That's a rule. Here are two sets. One is an obligation, one is a gift. What does the Kohen do first? It's a given. There's nothing to talk about. The first thing the Kohen does is the obligation. That's a very important yisod, because the Rambam and the Ravid and many other Rishonim disagree with Rashi. That's not necessarily so. The Kohen does whatever he does, and we'll figure out later on which what was what. We'll figure out later on, when everything is settled, we'll work backwards and try to work it out that she's spared. And if it works out to our benefit that the first thing that the Kohen brought was the gift, so be it, the first thing will be the gift. That's not the way Rashi learns. Rashi learns that when you bring two sets, the first set is automatically the obligation. There's no room to negotiate. The second set is the gift. Okay, the second chiddush Rashi says is that when you bring a gift of birds, both birds must be identical. Mm-hmm. If one bird is a tar, the other bird must be a tar. If one bird is a b'nei yoina, the other one must be a yoina. They must be the same min, both for the obligation and for the gift. Everyone disagrees with this principle. The only place that we find in the Torah that the two birds of one set must be the same is only for an obligation, a chayva. When you bring a set of birds as a gift, they don't have to be the same. One can be a yoina and one can be a tar.
What is Rashi?
That's what I want to get to. I want to get to that second point. So now, based upon these two rules, I just told you two major rules. This is what it says in the Mefarish, in the name of Rashi, on the side of Gemara and Perek Gimel Mishnah Vav. This is based upon these rules. So now let's take these rules and apply it to this case. It makes perfect sense. And remember, if you don't follow these rules, the interpretation of the Mishnah is completely different. Everything in the Mishnah changes. And once you change, this is the foundation. I'm not going deeper than this. We're finished. Once you go, then the Mishnah goes further and further and further and further, many levels deep. If you change these rules, everything, as you get more and more, you deepen in the Mishnah, it gets more and more complex. So let's start the case. A woman said, if I give birth to a male, I will give a gift to the Ribbono Shel Olam of a set of birds. She comes, she gives birth to a Zachar. Now that she gives birth, she has obligation. I gave birth. A woman that gives birth must bring a set of births. And she promised to bring a gift. She gives the kohen four births. Let's assume now, very simple, all four births are exactly the same. They're the same in two sets, and both sets are b'nei yoinah. So you don't have to deal with any problem. Kohen takes the first set, doesn't think, he has other things on his mind. And he takes the first set. When he picks up the first set of birds, what is he doing? What is he picking up? According to Rashi, he's picking up the chayva. And one bird lamala and one bird lamata. Excellent. He has done kedasu, because a chayva is a chatas and an oila. He has done everything properly. He picks the next set of birds. The next set of birds is the Nedava. And what is he supposed to do? They're both supposed to go lamala. One lamala, and the other one lamata. No good. That bird is disqualified. That bird has to be replaced. She has to replace that one bird
with a
B'nai Yoina.
Point to Rashi.
Right, we'll only do Rashi. We're not going to discuss anyone else.
For the Kohen's mistake.
She does. Well, that depends. That's another issue. Malpractice insurance. Kohen has certain malpractice insurance. That's a sugya. That is a sugya to itself. Let's not get into that now. Now, let's make one more variation. The woman, according to Rashi, is mahalach. Rashi's rules. These are two golden rules. These two rules are essential in order to understand the entire parak according to Rashi. Let's say the woman presents the kohen with two different sets of birds. One set of b'nei yoina and one set of tyrin. Here are two sets of birds. One set should be for my choiva, and one set should be for my nedava. So the kohen picks up one set. Automatically, according to Rashi, what's the first set?
Choyva.
The choiva. One bird is lamala, one bird is lamata. Good, that's good. Then he picks up the second set. According to Rashi, what's the second set? Rashi only, what's the second set? The nedava. Where should both these birds go? Both these birds should go lamala. What does he do? One lamala, good. Other lamata. That one lamata is no good. No good. Oh my gosh, I put one lamata, no good. I have to replace it. Well, tell me, the second set, when you brought the sec, was it the Torin or the B'nai Yoina? What did you do second? I don't remember. I don't remember the second set was, so therefore, she has no choice because of Rashi's second golden rule. Rashi's second, even though nowhere in the Torah does it say that when you bring in the Dava, both birds must be the same. But Rashi holds, both birds must, so since the second set was either a Tyrin or B'nai Yona, you don't know which one was its match, so she has to bring two more birds, one Tar and one B'nai Yona, to account for the second bird that was put Lamata. Now here's the kash. Kash is, where did Rashi get the second rule?
How many birds did she now bring?
Two birds.
But I thought Rashi
one Tar.
Be the same.
What?
I thought Rashi's second rule, we have to do the same.
That's why she brings one tar, two birds. One bird is a tar, and one bird is a b'nei yona.
But if she's bringing a set, they have to be the same.
Not a set.
No.
She doesn't bring a set. She brings two birds.
She's bringing a match.
She brings two birds. The Kohen made a mistake. He brought a bird lamata. So we asked the Kohen, when you brought the bird lamata...
The set, initially, she would have had to bring the set. Rashi's second rule was... The set has to be the same type of bird.
Correct. No. The set itself, the two birds must be the same.
Okay, now she's replacing one set.
Now she's replacing one bird from one set.
It has to be the set, right?
She has to replace one bird from one set. The second set, one bird was good, and one bird was no good. So she has to replace the one that's no good. But we don't know what the second set was.
So her replacement is not really a replacement
right.
for the whole set.
Right,
no,
correct. Two birds. One tar and one b'nei yona. So along comes. Now, Rashi, everything that we've learned is according to Rashi, who holds that you also must have, instead of a gift, the second bird must match. The two birds must match. Now, we're not going through the Rambam and the Ravid and all the other, and the Gra. But they all disagree with these principles. They totally disagree with these principles, and that's why they interpret the case entirely differently, because they hold that if Rashi, you're right. If you're going to learn the case according to Rashi, that the first set was the obligation, the second set was the nedava, why does she have to bring two birds? Only one bird was done shelo kedin, where only one bird was done wrong, so let her bring another bird. Oh, but maybe the bird that she brings is not going to match the other bird that was lama. So it doesn't match. When it comes to a gift, if you bring a gift of two birds, you don't have to match. One bird will be a tar, one will be a yona. That's why they don't like Rashi. But Rashi always says, where did Rashi get this from? So I want to show you what the Brisker Rav says. The Brisker Rav says in Parashas Vayikra, in the Parashas Vayikra, really, it's in Gemara Masechta. I have to go on Kreis, but it's not going to just go very quickly. We have where a woman brings birds. V'im min oif oilo karbono. Okay, I'm just going to read from memory. Rashi, here, if a woman, or not a woman, a man, we're dealing with giving, bring gifts to the Ribbono Shel. You bring an oilo, you bring different types. You want to give an oilo of birds. So if I want to give birds, oilo karbono, la Hashem. So it says here in singular, v'hikriv min. So what should you bring? So Torah is giving you the meaning. V'hikriv min ha-toirim oy min b'nei ha-yoyna. You can either bring from toirim or b'nei yoyna. It says with v'hikriv loshen yochit, singular. And then it says, but this singular is two birds, toirim or b'nei yoyna. Toirim. Two toirin or b'nei yoyna, these are plurals. Okay, you would think, now this is really the Gemara. The Gemara says, what do you do then? V'hikrivo ha-koyhein el ha-mizbeach. The Gemara takes note in Masech the Kreis Staff Testament Aleph that it says v'hikrivo b'loshon yochid. It doesn't say v'hikriv. V'hikrivo. And from this word, v'hikrivo and not v'hikriv, the change from Hikriv Hikrivo, the Gemara says a person is allowed to bring a single bird as a gift to Hashem. If you want to give gifts to Ribbono Shel Olam, you don't have to give two birds. Gezum Dehid, bring one bird. It's an explicit pasuk in the Torah. The Hikrivo, bring a single bird. Oh, but it says in the previous pasuk the Hikriv. No, so that's referring to the min. The Gemara talks about the Sifsei Chachamim discusses it. That's referring to lechatchila. You should bring two birds. It's nice to bring two birds. Or when it says v'hikriv, the reason why it's written in singles because we're referring to the min. We're now referring to the set. All we need to know is the Gemara, the ikku word of the pasuk is v'hikrivo. That's what defines you're allowed to bring one bird. This is why everyone disagrees with Rashi. Everyone is disturbed. How can you, Rashi, say that if you bring a set of birds, they both must match? They don't have to match. The biggest proof they don't have to match is the person can bring a single bird. So I'm bringing two birds. A set of two birds is really, a set is really two separate individual birds. One bird can be a yoina and one bird can be a tar. There's no need to match. But Rashi there, Masech de Kreso, says no. You have to look very carefully. This is the Brisker of it. Says when it says v'hikriv, the way Rashi learns the pasuk is as follows. His chiddush. I want to bring out the Brisker of is Rashi's words are korban sholem. We do have to make account for the fact that in the previous pasuk it says in singular. Rashi makes it clear that a korban sholem is two birds. And that is why it says v'hikriv b'loshon yochid in connection with two toirim u'b'nei yona. Then, when it says v'hikrivo, according to Rashi, it means you're bringing a half of a korban. In other words, what's the ikar? There are two words here. V'hikriv, v'hikrivo. The Brisker Rav learns in Rashi, the ikar word is v'hikriv, b'loshon yochid. A complete korban of birds are two. Not one, two birds. When you bring a single bird, you're allowed to. The Torah is mechadish, but the Torah is mechadish, you can bring a chatzi korban. I hear for carbon. And we find a precedent for this. Look, we have by the Kohen Gadol every day he brings the chavitin. What is the chavitin? It's one eifah, machatzisoy ba boiker, machatzisoy. It's also a half carbon. It's not exactly the same because there you're starting off with the complete carbon. You break it into two parts. But when he offers it in the morning, he's offering a half a carbon. Ketores, you take one portion, one pras, one portion. You break one portion. You monen. You break it up into two portions. Pras the shachris, pras ben arbayim. You bring half. Machsa shekel. We do find a precedent in the Torah in many instances when you come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is something called bringing hef. According to the Ramban and the Ravid and the Gra, all of those that strongly disagree with Rashi and hold that there's nothing wrong with bringing a set of birds, one bird is a Torah, one bird is a Bnei Yonah, they learn these two psukim, the ikur of these, the contradiction between these two words, v'hikrivo, is the word v'hikrivo. A one bird is a complete carbon. Lechatchila, when you bring birds, you should bring two birds. A double carbon. But your starting point is one. So that's the only point I want to make is that there's a nafkin, according to Rashi, a complete set is two birds. Menela, if a complete set, a carbon is two birds, they have to match. Because that's called shalem. That it's cool. When you bring one, you're only bringing half. According to the Rambam, the Ravid who learned everything completely different, you don't need to come on to this. One bird is a complete carbon. If one bird is a complete carbon, when you bring two birds, there's no requirement that one should match the other. I'm bringing two birds. One is a tar, one is a bnei yoina. That's why he learns the Mishnah entirely different. Rashi says a complete carbon is two birds. If you bring only one bird, you're bringing a half of a carbon. Can you bring a half of a carbon? That's what the Torah is telling you. And good, you shouldn't find this as a chiddush because we find such a concept elsewhere by the Minchas Chavitim, by the Ketores, even by Machsa Shekel. But being that it's only a half, it's logical that the two halves should match a min. And if one half is going to be a tar, the other half should be a tar. If one half is going to be a ben yoina, the other half should be a ben yoina. And that's why Rashi learns the mission the way he learns, that you start off with your chayva, then you come to your nidava, and your dava must match. Being that it must match, you can have to bring two birds, one bird to match the possibility that the other part was a tar, and one bird to match the possibility that it would have been a ben yoina. Now I want to just go a little bit further, and there's a little bit of a drush. Where would Rashi get? Where would the Brisker Rav get such a thing to say that two birds are set? Why? That's a strange thing. Two birds is a set. Why should two birds be a dover shalom? So the only thing I can think of is the famous Balaturim, based on the Medrash. The Balaturim discussed a woman who's wealthy. A woman who's wealthy. What does she bring? She brings a keves for the chatos, and then she brings one bird for the oila. And when she brings the one bird, it says she brings oila o ben yoina oit sar lecha. I'm sorry, the other way around. A keves for the oila o ben yoina oit sar lechatas. The Bala term is this, why throughout the Torah, whenever we discuss the two types of birds, what comes first? We always mention the toyrim first. And then we mention the yoinim. Why in the parish of Yoledes, a woman who's wealthy, when she brings for the oila, she brings the keves, but when it comes to the chatos, Torah switches and says the yoina first and the tar second. So what does the Baal term say? Because the tar has a zug. A tar, birds have mates, have the zugim, and a tar is loyal to its zug, to its partner, to its wife. And if you're going, if one partner dies, is taken away, it will never remarry. So if you're going to bring two birds, so look, now it's not, it doesn't mean you have to bring the zoo. You don't bring the husband and wife together. But since that's what the Baal term says, generally speaking, it seems that they did. So when you bring birds, if you're bringing two birds, bring the tyrant, because no one's going to be mourning. There's no one going to be left to be mourning over the one that's missing because you're bringing two together. But if you're only bringing one, the partner is going to be mourning. So A Yonah does not mourn over its mate. A Yonah goes on. The Yonah's partner disappears, so the Yonah will remarry, will find a new partner. But the tar is not going to remarry. For the rest of its life, it will remain alone. Don't be mitzaher. Tsar ba'alei chayim, the tar. Don't take away, since in this instance you're only taking one, you're not taking the other, or you're going to cause one to remain. If you're going to do it to the tar, you're going to cause the remaining partner to suffer a loss for the remainder of its life. It's tsar ba'alei chayim. Better take the Yonah. Because the Yonah zug is not going to mourn forever. It will go
she'll
forward.
Remarry.
What?
She'll remarry.
She'll remarry, exactly. So that's why here, only in this case, we're only going to take one bird. Did the Torah first put the Yonah first, and then the tar? This one says, me. This is what the Baal term. B'chol, I'll read you the Rav of just a few words. B'chol mokai makdim tarim l'b'nei Yonah. Throughout the Torah, we'll always put the tar first. Chutz mikan. Because in this instance, the woman was wealthy, she's bringing an animal for the oila, and only a single bird for the chatos. It mourns for enoi mizdavig la'acher forever. So what do you take out of this Baal HaTurim? That birds are sets. There's a relationship among birds. They're sets. So being that they're sets, we can understand the lumbus of Rashi. Rashi learns, not like the Rambam, that when it comes to a bird, a set, a carbon sholem by birds are two birds. Why? Because it's only by birds we find shaduchim. It's only by birds we find zugos. And therefore, and the haraya, it's a fair shapasik. Torah changes the order. To teach you a halacha, don't be mitzad tsar ba'alei chayim. Even though it's when it comes to the yon is not mourning, but it's part of this category where it has a zug. So a carbon sholem is the zug. If you take one, it's a chatzi carbon. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says no such thing. He doesn't hold this idea of zugos. He holds one bird, it's a complete carbon. Two birds is a double carbon. Happens to be women, they used to bring sets of two birds, but it's a double carbon. Mimela, if you only need one bird got messed up, so you bring another bird. Does the second one have to match? No, because it's a double carbon, so it's two birds. They don't have to match. Rashi, no. Two birds, a dover shole, because there's a concept of zugos by birds, shaduchim by birds. Mimela, one is a chatz, what? No, but being that they group together, it's mashma, they do have zugos. It's just one mourns, one does not mourn. Okay, I want to tell you one very, very quick thing. Why is it called Masechta Kinyan instead of the Drush? Just a few words. So why is this is new to me? Why is it called Masechta Kinyan? What is Kinyan? We should say Masechta Toyrim B'nei Yonah. All the Masechtas are all based on pretty much in terms in the Torah. This is a rabbinic term. Okay, you have Kansibar. Kansibar, it's a nest, set of birds, but it should be Masechta Toyrim B'nei Yonah. What is it called Kinyan? So another question. Why does a woman of Yoledes bring a carbon chatas? What sin did she commit? You only bring a chatas for real sins. A person. So there's a medrash. A medrash that when she's karas, lele, she has tsar. Terrible. We can't even begin to imagine the tsar of a Yoledes. And she makes a shrua. She'll never have relations with her husband again. So she should never come to this state of tsar leda. So therefore, now she has harata. She wants more children. So she has to bring a carbon. It was a shrua shaf. It's only in the mashal. Did she ever hear a woman? I don't go here. No be joyin. You ever hear a woman makes a shrua in the operating room? Labor? I don't think you'll ever hear. It's in the machshav, in her mind. She has such thoughts. Very difficult. Very, very difficult. This. It's a medrash. Okay, it's a medrash.
That's why they didn't use to have men.
What?
Husbands didn't used to go in the labor room.
Shouldn't have the wives cursed them out. But that was before the epidurals. So you didn't have all. So the teretz is the drush. Teretz is enechnaim when a woman brings a carbon. You know she's bringing the carbon for? Not for herself. She's bringing a carbon to mechaper on the chet of chava. Why is there be'etzef tel diban? Why is it tzar chav leida? Chava the chet eitz hadas. Chava was cursed. She gave Adam the eitz hadas, and because Hashem said because of the sin. Be'etzef tel dibanim. It's unbelievable. Every woman since chava has tzar leida, tzar chav leida because of the chet of chava. Who was Chava's firstborn child? Kayim. Kayin, it says in Rashi, look in Rashi, but if you have to look at that, that little, not look in Rashi there, Kayin was born before the Chet. Even though the Rashi, Rashi says Beferish. In the beginning of Bereshis, he was, so that means when Kayin was born, the Bechor of the world, the first human being that came into the world through the process of Leda, there was no Tsar Chevli Leda. Would you believe it? The only time in history natural birth was painless. Okay, you'll tell me finally strange stories in the Guinness Book of World Records, but the Derech Chal, the only time in history a painless Chevli Leda was Kayin. And I have a loss, but Kayin was the first. Chav sinned. And because she sinned, every single woman has to be machab as a reminder that Tsar Chevli Leda is a zikoroin for the chet of Chava. So you bring birds, karbonos, to machaber, to bring us back to Chava before the chet, where she can produce a child without the Tsar Chevli like Kayin. Kinim comes from the word Kayin. There's an extra nun. The Darshanim say the nun refers to the Nochash. There's a reference to Nochash HaKadmoini. It's Kayin. Okay, that's a little bit of a stretch. But it does have the Shurish. The Nochash HaKadmoini is the one that persuaded Chava to sin. He brings it all together. But that's why it's called Masechta Kinim. It's a kapara. The birds are a kapara. For Chava, our desire to return to Chodim, the Chet, and have children without Tsar Chavileta like Chavim. Okay, we'll stop here.